From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Senator John McCain and Senator Barack Obama are working to make sure people who do support them get to the polls, and they're trying to attract swing voters who haven't declared their support. So what are the campaigns doing in the final hours of Election 08? We'll check in with the Obama campaign in a moment, but first we've got Ben Porritt, a national spokesman for the McCain campaign. Hi, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so let's start out with redistributionist. Just today, Senator McCain called Senator Obama a redistributionist, but Senator McCain's proposals on health care and finance, among others, would redistribute at least some tax dollars. So is that inconsistent with his campaign rhetoric?
Well, not at all. I think the point that Senator McCain is making is that the philosophy that Barack Obama shares on taxes is to provide tax relief to those who aren't paying taxes. It is he wants to crush our small businesses with higher taxes on capital gains, higher taxes on income. So the philosophies that both these men share are completely different. And as we head into Election Day tomorrow, that's been the case we've been making for several weeks. So Barack Obama said it himself. He wants to spread the wealth around, and we want to make sure that going into tomorrow, all voters know that.
What states do you think are going to be critical for you tomorrow?
Well, you know, we've outlined probably about 15 core battleground states that we've been paying attention to. And I think that, you know, we feel very, very good about our get-out-the-vote efforts. We feel very, very good about the support on the ground in all of these states. And I think that we're going to be really paying attention to Colorado. We're going to be paying attention to Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia. And we're very hopeful that at the end of the night we're able to not only flip a blue state like Pennsylvania, but we're able to really keep into our category some traditional Republican states like Virginia, Colorado, and you know, some of the other, in a state like Missouri, for instance.
During this campaign, there's been talk about Joe Sixpack and the real America. Of course, the swing states that you're mentioning, some of them are really places where you are seeing people who were haves sliding into the category of have-nots. How effectively do you think that your campaign is wooing people who feel as if they've lost ground in the past 8 years? And if so, on what basis are you wooing them?
Well, you know, what I can speak to is our Get Out the Vote effort, which is world class. I mean, we've put a ton of money into that. And I think that in key battleground states, we have doubled and in some cases tripled the personal contact that we've had to get these people out to the polls. More importantly, on a message, it's important that we tell these folks who have had a rough time over the last 8 years with the economy and have seen this government expand when they thought that we would cut spending as a party, and we haven't. But the message that John McCain is saying is, look, I'm not going to raise anybody's taxes. I have the plans and policies to get this economy back on track. I am a tested and proven leader. And on the other side, Barack Obama isn't. John McCain has spent more time in a Vietnamese prison camp than Barack Obama has spent in the U.S. Senate. Barack Obama has never been tested as a leader. And going into Election Day, we have serious, serious issues on the table. And Barack Obama, on the economy especially, Barack Obama is the only presidential candidate in modern history to advocate for a tax increase at a time of economic crisis. So there are vast differences in philosophies. And for those who are hurting out there who want to see this economy get back on track, we got to keep taxes low, reduce spending, and make sure that small businesses can continue to create wealth. And that's what John McCain's plans do.
I think that the issue of taxes is one that's better explored with some background fact-checking on what happened during the Bush years in terms of redistribution of tax wealth. And on our website, the overall NPR website, npr.org, if you go to politics, you'll find a lot of fact-checking on that. I will just say that and move on, but I do want to talk on the experience level about Governor Sarah Palin. It has become the question of her experience has become one of the biggest issues and a big dividing point for movement conservatives as to whether or not they really buy into her as a leader for the party. Regardless of whether or not Senator McCain wins tomorrow, and I know that this is really what you're looking at, do you think Governor Palin has a future in the Republican Party?
Well, you know, John McCain said the other day, and I obviously tend to agree with him, that, you know, regardless of whether he had selected her as vice president or not, she was going to burst onto the national scene at some point. She's a rising star in our party, and, you know, I would beg to differ with you on the points of experience. You look at the resume and the record that Sarah Palin has built, not only as mayor of towns in Alaska, but also as governor, I'd put her record up against Barack Obama's any day. Barack Obama. Yep.
I just want to make sure I get to this last point. Very
sure.
Quickly, if Senator McCain wins, what do you think will push him over the top? If he does not win, what do you think will have been the issue?
Well, I know that everybody who's made predictions this election have certainly struggled. But I think, you know, if McCain wins in the climate that Republicans are facing right now, this is just truly a testament of John McCain and his brand, the fact that we're being outspent 3 or 4 to 1 in these states, and, you know, we are the underdog. If we win, it's all because of John McCain's brand and the way the American people see him. If we lose, maybe I can come on and explain that later, but we're extremely confident and optimistic that we will be celebrating tomorrow.
Okay, Ben, thank you so much.
All right, thanks for having me on.
That was Ben Porritt, a national spokesperson for the McCain campaign. And now we turn to Corey Elans, director of African American Media for the Obama campaign. Hi, Corey.
Hi, good to be with you.
So some 90% of black voters are expected to cast their ballot for Obama on Election Day. And some people are even predicting that Senator Obama might exceed Lyndon Johnson's record of receiving 94% of the black vote. That was back in 1964. So if elected, what will the senator feel he owes to the black community? And how will he seek to transform specifically the lives of black Americans?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, because if you look at the level of support that Democrats have received traditionally over the past several election cycles, it's usually teetered around the 85 to 90% level. So when people say that Senator Obama is receiving this exorbitant amount of support from the African American community, I think that's slightly off base. I think you have to look at our history and see how African Americans have supported the party in the past. What I would say as far as what the agenda will be for African Americans, it actually is an agenda for all Americans. You've heard about his proposal to cut taxes for individuals who make less than $200,000 a year, not to raise taxes for those who make under $250,000 a year. And you've heard about his proposals to bring teachers to our schools to provide education, to provide health care to a wider group of individuals around the country. So when you talk about the agenda for African Americans specifically, you're actually talking about the agenda for America that Senator Obama hopes to implore.
There was a moment when we got to speak with Senator Obama about affirmative action, and he made remarks in the past that said that his daughters, who were privileged, should not necessarily have the same access to affirmative action as someone who was black but who had socioeconomic difficulties. Is that something we can expect to play out in an Obama presidency, if there is an Obama presidency, that specific issue, but also that philosophy of moving towards economic-based justice as opposed to racial-based justice?
Well, I think mainly what the senator was attempting to say is that ultimately we need to offer individuals all over the country the opportunity to achieve based on their abilities. And ultimately, what we're trying to do is expand opportunities for all people, not just for a narrow group. And what he's saying is that we should consider economic issues concerning that as well, in addition to traditional individuals who've been held back in the past.
Now, the senator has been aggressively linking Senator McCain with President Bush and his, quote, 8 years of failed policies. But Senator Obama has avoided criticizing the Republican Party as a whole with the same vigor. What does that bode for in terms of bipartisan approaches to governing? Is this an attempt during the campaign to lay a foundation for bipartisan governance?
Well, I think Senator Obama has talked about this in ways that would seek to bring people together. This is not an indictment against the Republican Party per se, but this is an indictment against the 8 years that we've had with George Bush. The one thing I can tell you as far as African Americans are concerned is if you look at the quality of life for this community over the past 8 years, it's been on a steady decline. First of all, we've lost some 500,000 jobs among African Americans since George Bush and Dick Cheney came into office. There are nearly 2 million African Americans who are unemployed right now. There are 7 million African Americans who are without health care. So it's not so much an indictment against the Republican Party as much as it is an indictment against these 8 years of George Bush. And if you, as the senator said, if you want to see what a McCain administration would look like, just take a look at what we've had for the past 8 years, and that's embodied in what we've seen from President Bush.
There are signs that lower-income Americans from communities of color, younger Americans from communities of color are going to show up and vote at high numbers. What is Senator Obama's vision for the future of industry in this country and steering young workers into jobs? Right now, there are a lot of industries that don't have any jobs.
Well, one of the things that he said is that we have to take a look at how we create jobs in this country for sure. And one of the main things he's talked about is developing green jobs, developing jobs based on this new economy that's going to come about because of our new look at the environment, in addition to our energy policy as well. That's actually been one of the main staples of his urban policy, is to take a look at how we can change and redevelop our urban communities by developing jobs, making them more greener, and making them more accessible to more people in the community.
Is that going to happen fast enough so that people do not begin to blame Senator Obama if their lives are not what they'd hoped?
Well, look, we said that this is going to take some time. We didn't anticipate this economic travesty that we've seen over the past several months, but I think that we should appreciate that with Senator Obama in the White House, we'll have someone with the confidence, with the and with a steady hand and a real plan to deal with this economy on a real basis. It's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think the policies and ideals that he has outlined during his candidacy will put us on the right track to righting our economy.
All right, Corey, thank you.
Thank you a lot. Good to be with you.
That was Corey Elins, Director of African American Media for Obama for America.